Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Raise your hand if you've ever seen a bumper sticker or a t-shirt or something with any of the following slogans on it or something like it. No one gets out of this life alive. Nothing is certain in life except death and taxes. As you get older, the survival rate drops to zero. 10 out of 10 people will die eventually. Probably everyone has seen at least one of those. Their variations on it are almost endless. And all of them are pretty true, though around tax day, I like to point out that there were actually two people who managed to avoid death, Enoch and Elijah. But no one avoids taxes. But that's beside the point. Sadly, death is something that affects all of us in one way or another. And at no time is this more true than at major holidays like Christmas and Easter, when the absence of a loved one is so much more keenly felt. Just think of the women huddling together on that first Easter after a supremely joyless Passover the day before, trudging to the cemetery together at first light to do their duty for Jesus. You get some idea of just how much of a damper death can put on the festivities. The thing is that death was never part of God's intention. God's plan was not for death as far back as the Garden of Eden. The earth that God originally created was all about life. God created the earth and said it is very good when things had life. God urged all living things to be fruitful and multiply. He intended for humanity to live forever in his presence, eating from the tree of life. God's intent was for us to be perfectly obedient to him, to love him purely, and to be with him, living in his presence eternally. That was God's intent, but it did not last. Our first parents sinned by desiring to be like God, and this sin brought them to eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and thus bringing death into the world. Adam and Eve died for their sin, and they condemned all of their children likewise to death. They and their children have been barred from the garden, barred from the tree of life. In Romans 5:14, Paul notes that death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. Death has reigned from then till Moses and from Moses till today. All of us who are descended from Adam and Eve, and that's all of us, in fact, all of creation, is under the same sentence of death that Adam and Eve received for their sin. Paul says the wages of sin is death. We all sin, we all will die. Everyone dies now, and that really is not okay. That is not something that God is happy about, that people die. His intent is life. He doesn't want us to die, not apart from him, not even truly with him. He wishes for life. The death of the saints is a time of joy because they are asleep in God, but God's end goal has never been their death. People are born, they live, they die. Before the flood, people did live to much greater ages than today. 969 years is how old Methuselah was, the oldest man to live, but he still died nonetheless. Now, these days, life expectancies are, for the most part, creeping up again thanks to modern medicine, although there are certain things that have caused the mortality rate to creep up and life expectancies to creep down in the last few years. Regardless, we still die. Scientists keep trying to find ways to keep us from dying, but they aren't going to. They're not going to succeed, at least not without losing what makes us really alive. This is a broken, tragic cycle that we live in of birth, life, death. And it is the cycle into which God became flesh so that he could break the cycle. Jesus was born as a human being, and he grew up as a normal human boy. He went through all of the normal developmental stages that we go through. He was an infant who cried and slept and nursed in his mother's arms. He probably was a toddler when the wise men came to visit him. At age 12, he's brought to the temple in Jerusalem to participate in the Jewish festivals like any other child his age on the cusp of manhood. Jesus lived a real, normal human life, and he died a human death. However, Jesus' death is the end of the cycle. God himself died, and the cycle is broken. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
On the cross, Jesus, true God, died, but God could not stay dead. Imagine that. The author of life stuck dead and buried in a cave. And so Jesus, as true God and also true man, could not stay dead and buried. He had to rise from the dead. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Because Jesus returned from the grave and came back to life, death has now lost all of its power. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. We all die because Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, but death now has no power anymore because of Christ's sinlessness. Adam's disobedience brings us death. Christ's obedience gives us life. One man's sin brought death into the world. Another man's innocence destroyed the power of death. Now, this doesn't mean that there's no more death in the world. In John 11, Jesus tells his friend Martha after her brother's death, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." This doesn't mean that we won't die. It means that we live in Christ even though we will die in this life. In baptism, our eternal life in Christ begins now. We are alive with him now in this life so that even when we die, we don't truly die as believers in Christ. Death does still have some power in this world. We are going to die physically. People we love are going to die, and such death is still a tragedy and certainly nothing to be hurried against God's plan. Grief is still something that we experience in this life whenever someone dies, but the sting of death has been removed. Even as we grieve, even as we die, we know that we do not do it as those who have no hope. We know that the sting of death is removed because death is temporary. In our epistle reading from the sunrise service, from the end of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul laughs at death itself when he says, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is temporary, and even its temporary power is not going to last forever because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And how comforting it is to see that Christ, because Christ is risen, there is a new heavens and a new earth that are coming after the resurrection of all the dead, in which the only death will be the death of death. As Paul says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, God's purpose now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Death is thrown down, it loses all of its power, and what is going to die in the end? Death itself. There is no more death, only life, eternal life in Christ. The time of the final resurrection is described kind of like a recreation of the Garden of Eden. So that everything is the way that God always intended it to be. What wasn't there in Eden? Death, pain, sorrow, sickness, suffering. All of these things have no place in paradise. Illnesses, physical and mental, will be no more. Suffering will be no more. No fear, because there's nothing to be afraid of, because perfect love of Christ casts out all fear. All there will be is life and joy and peace. But we aren't there yet. The first Easter brought it about in a way. Jesus is himself the first fruits of the grave. But the full resurrection hasn't happened yet. We're still sitting here 2,000 years later, waiting for the trumpet to sound, call the dead from their graves, for death to be thrown down and life to take its place. We don't know when it will be, but we know that it will be glorious. There will be no more mourning for those who have already experienced death. Death will spit them back up. There will be no more fear of death. Death will lose even what power it still retains. Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we express our confidence that Christ has destroyed death and stripped it of its power. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds as we await that day of the resurrection of all flesh. Amen.